There are literally dozens of places in the scriptures where God is compared to one of the creatures that we share this planet with. These are metaphors to try and help us understand some of the aspects of God and how God seeks to change our lives. So we're going to look at a few of these passages today, and we're also going to have some images that might help you get an idea of what were the scripture writers really trying to say. So would you please join me in a spirit of prayer as we get ready to begin. Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things God has made. So wrote the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of the letter to the Romans, verse 20. Paul was basically saying that when you look at creation around us, the animals, the plants, the water, the stars in the sky, we can be guided towards the power that created them, towards the entities that created them, towards our loving God who gave us this beautiful universe to live in. Creation is our home. It's something that in some ways we can understand. It's something we experience every day. Now, I admit, I don't know how it is that the physics allow a bumblebee or a bird to fly. I guess, in particularly with the bumblebees, physics say they shouldn't be able to fly, but, you know, the world's a surprising place sometimes. I may not understand how it happens, but I see the birds flying every day. It's something that comes naturally to me. It's something many of us probably see every day. I don't know how the trees make oxygen. I think we had to learn the chemical equation when I was in biology class at some point in high school, but I forgot it if I ever knew it. But I know that the big, beautiful trees don't just provide leaves and shade. They literally make the very air that I need to breathe to live. And these are just a few examples. All around us, there are sights and sounds and smells. The feel of a flower petal in your fingers, that soft feel of a flower petal. These are things that most of us can identify with. Most of us can understand. We can wrap our minds around. This is where we live. This is what goes on in our lives. And that's the point I want to make, because God uses these things we can understand to try to understand something that we could never fully understand. You see, we humans have a problem. God calls us into relationship with God, but God is so far beyond what our minds can fully comprehend. So we need to compare God to something. It's the only way we can understand who God is, and that's okay. Because through the natural world that we experience each and every day, and through the ways that God inspired the writers of Scripture to use examples from the natural world, we are offered some opportunities to understand God and God's love, and the unbelievable, life-changing love that God offers us through Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of passages about how nature can point us towards the love of God, and how the examples from nature can help us understand the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. And so throughout this month of July, in the midst of the summer growing season, when everything's growing like crazy, when we see life flourishing all around us in this part of the world where we're so blessed to have some of the richest soil in the world, we're going to be pondering how the natural world around us can remind us of God's love and point us towards the love of Jesus Christ. And for this first week, we're going to look at a few times when in the scriptures, the scripture writers were inspired to compare God to the animals around us so that we might better understand the love of God. May we see the first slide, please? Our first scripture passage comes to us from Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, right after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptizer. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Can we see the next slide, please? I want you to imagine a dove. Now, God, through the Holy Spirit, is in relationship with human beings constantly. The Holy Spirit is God's loving presence, God's guiding presence, God's wisdom-giving presence, God's comforting presence among us. And there are many metaphors that the Scriptures use for the Holy Spirit. Two of the most common are wind and fire. And wind can be wonderful. I'm not, again, entirely sure of all of the mechanical stuff involved, but wind can make thousands and, or what is it, millions of kilowatts of electricity with those giant turbines we see every time we're out driving in the country. Wind can drive a ship across the ocean. Wind is power that can bless us. And fire is so vital to we humans. It makes the food that we eat safer to eat and more able to be consumed and more nutritious for us. Fire takes the ore that we dig out of the earth and turns it into things like metal that can change our lives, or it takes the sand off the shore and turns it into glass windows that provide us light but also keep the cold out, at least in theory. But the other thing about wind and fire is, what happens when you have too much wind? What happens when you have too much fire? How many of you have ever burned yourself when you grabbed the stick you were roasting the marshmallows on just a little too close to the part that had been in the fire? Or maybe that's just my mistake. So not just is the Holy Spirit wind and fire, which are great and powerful and wonderful, and we're going to talk about God's power in a minute, but the Holy Spirit is also a peaceful presence, a calming presence, a beautiful presence. Do you ever hear the mourning doves singing out of your window? Or I shouldn't really say singing. They don't really sing. But do you ever hear the mourning doves cooing out of your window in the morning when you wake up? It's a sound I hear a lot. Now, mourning doves didn't live in ancient Galilee where Jesus did. It was different kinds of doves, but the principle is the same. There were these beautiful birds that in the morning would welcome the morning with soft, peaceful sounds. The sight of a dove was seen to be a sign of blessing. A dove was used as a symbol of God's blessing. A dove with the little slip of green in the mouth was a sign at the end of the story of the flood in the book of Genesis that the world was going to be remade through God's love. A dove is a peaceful, calming presence, a sign of blessing, and it's beautiful. At least I think they're beautiful. I love watching the mourning doves flying. I love to see the colors of their feathers. I love how their feathers look so smooth. They must be really tiny because it feels like you can't even see the feathers. It just looks like their backs and their necks and their heads are just completely smooth with the feathers. And that's the point. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Yes, the Holy Spirit will change your life, and it needs to change our lives sometimes. But sometimes we need to be inspired by beauty. Sometimes we need to be calmed down. Sometimes we need a little peace in our lives. And when Jesus came up out of the waters having been baptized, the Holy Spirit came as a dove, a reminder of that peace and that love and that blessing. But sometimes we need other things in our lives. Here is a completely different image, talking about not the Holy Spirit as we know God through the Holy Spirit, but God described in a different way. God says through the prophet Hosea in the 13th chapter, verses 7 and 8, "So I will become like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open the covering of their heart. There I will devour them like a lion, and as a wild animal would mangle them." That dove sure seems a long way from that, doesn't it? The image of God as a dove, the Holy Spirit as a dove, is a calming, peaceful presence. And then you got an image of God like, I looked up for an image of a mama bear defending her cubs, and this was definitely the best one I found on Google this week. I admit, of all of those images of God as the lion or the leopard, the mother bear defending its cubs was the one that was most striking to me. I think it's an image of God I've hardly ever heard anyone talk about. Now, it is my understanding, and I'm not a biologist, but it's my understanding there are few creatures on this planet that pound for pound are more dangerous than a mama bear defending her babies. A mama bear desperate to get her babies back will face down any danger, up to and including a Bengal tiger, as you can see in this photo. What does it mean when we hear God being compared to these ferocious animals? What does that say to us about who God is? There are other passages that refer to God as a lion. There are passages, as I talked about with the children during the children's sermon, that refer to God as a raging bull. Does that mean that God wants to hurt us? That God wants to strike people down? There are certainly some people who have thought so. And don't think that that's just Old Testament stuff 3,000 years ago. One of the most famous sermons in the history of the United States by a man named Jonathan Edwards. For those of you who are Hamilton fans, that was Aaron Burr's grandfather. He talked about how God is like a human being holding a spider over the fire. Not the most pleasant image of God, as far as I'm concerned. Is God a loving entity, or is God a fierce judge? Well, we have to remember God is powerful. God does not let sin stand. In particular, God does not let the oppression of the weak and the vulnerable stand. Why is that mama bear so fierce? Because her cubs can't fight off a tiger. So she'll do whatever it takes to keep them safe. Maybe God is a little bit like that. One of the most common themes you see throughout the scriptures is that God will defend the widow, the orphan, the sick, the blind, the maimed, the stranger. Anyone who somebody might take advantage of, God says, I will take their side and I will defend them, and I will not let you exploit the person who is weak. God invites us to be in a loving, life-changing relationship with God. But God says, if you truly love me, you're going to love everyone else. And that means if you see someone who is being attacked, you're going to do something to defend them, like that mama bear is going to do to defend her babies. God is not just sitting up there. There was an image that was very popular at the time of the American Revolution. They said, God is a clockmaker. God made the world, wound the clock, and then God said, hands off, it'll all take care of itself. Well, that might be a nice image, but that's not the God of the Bible at all. And don't let anyone tell you that God doesn't care about this world. If you read the Bible, you see that God is constantly sending the Holy Spirit. God is constantly inspiring people to speak God's word. God was willing to take on flesh and come into this world through Christ Jesus, our Savior, and get into this world. God says if there is sin in this world, if the vulnerable are being oppressed, there will be consequences. It's not about God throwing lightning bolts down on people, but God says the world will not let sin stand. The world will not let particularly oppression and taking advantage of people stand. I want you to ponder something that we pray each week in service. We pray as part of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But do we ever think about what that really means? God didn't just come through Jesus to save our souls. God came to make the earth more like heaven. And that means that God will get in the middle of things. I don't think God is a ferocious animal eager to devour us. But God is, by gum, not going to let the suffering on this world stand. And God will defend God's children, just as a mama bear defends her babies. So our next slide, our final slide, comes to us from the words of Jesus Christ. From the 13th chapter of Luke, verses 33 and 34. Christ says, yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. We Christians find God most fully through Jesus Christ. We don't understand how, our minds can't understand, but somehow Jesus was fully God and fully human. The child of God walking around on this planet, yet also God in the flesh, the Emmanuel, God with us. Can we see the next slide, please? So if a little bit different, isn't it? So if we hear Jesus saying, I wish I was like a mother hen, keeping my brood safe under my wings, we need to pay attention to what Jesus says and to try to figure out what does this say about who Jesus is and about who God is. In Christ, we see that God's love is perfect. Now, Jesus is speaking about the city of Jerusalem. See, the city of Jerusalem was where the kings and the high priests lived. And God would occasionally send prophets and say to the kings and the high priests, y'all didn't get it right. You need to get back on the right path. The problem is some of those kings and high priests liked the path they were on because, thank you, it was getting a lot of yummy food in their tummies and a lot of gold in their pockets. And so things didn't end well for some of those prophets. They got thrown in jail. They got rocks thrown at them. They got thrown into a shallow grave after a mob had killed them in some cases. And yet, what does Jesus say about these people? Now, not all the people in Jerusalem, but about some of the people in Jerusalem who are against the will of God, Jesus wishes to bring them under his wings like a hen would protect her brood. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is willing to say, I will protect you like a mother hen will protect her chicks. And it is my understanding that a mother hen, sometimes at the cost of her life, can keep her babies safe from weather events and storms and from fires. God is willing to, even for the very enemies of God, lay down the life to protect them. Isn't that a powerful image? And who knew you could get it from a chicken? Christ is willing to protect us, sinners as we are. Christ is willing to protect everyone. Christ comes for everyone, welcomes everyone under the wings. Everyone is to be protected and loved and cared for, even at the very cost of Christ's life. And sadly, it would be the cost of Christ's life. These are the kind of powerful images we say. Jesus took the humblest of barnyard creatures and using something that the people who was listening to him would have known about, he says, this is how much God loves you. God loves you so much that God will die for you. God will do whatever it takes to protect you. That is the kind of love that can change your life. And God says, let your life be changed by my love through Jesus, and then please go out and love other people that way as well. The Bible contains so many of these amazing images reminding us of how much God loves us. They are challenging sometimes. They're scary sometimes. But as we look out into the creation that God has created, and as we look to the scriptures and dig deep in the scriptures, we can day by day learn more and grow more and be reminded that God loves us. And be reminded that it's not just about us and God, that we are inspired to take that love, to let it transform our lives, imperfect as we all are. But that love will make us a little bit more perfect each day. And imperfect as we are, we can go out and share some of that love with other people, that they might know that God loves them. God did not come through Christ just to save our souls, but to change everything in all creation, including the things going on with the animals. And so I ask you this coming week, see how you see God around you as you're out walking in the world. Do you see God in creation? Are you pondering how God is demonstrating love for us? And look and open your Bibles and maybe find some images of God that you don't read too often, because I'm guessing none of you have ever read about God as a mama bear before, or not many of you at least. But dig into the scriptures and see what they might have to say to you about God's love. And as you feel that love known to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our hope, please share it with others. And let's make this world a little bit more like the place that Christ came to make it each and every day. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.